In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's turn our attention back once again to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The Word. God does not promise you happiness. God does not promise you wealth. He doesn't even promise you health. God never, in His Word, promises you status or success by the world's way of measuring it. Now, I know that the most popular preachers in our country of this day offer those who gather around them or dial them in on the internet or the cable television stations all of these things. They promise every one of these things. Not a one of those promises is from God. But even you and I want those things, don't we? You and I are even willing to work and work hard throughout our lives for as many of those things as we can accumulate to ourselves. In fact, the culture in which we live teaches us, really tempts us to believe that we have a right to these things. Oh, well, maybe not all of them right this moment, but the flavor of American culture pretty much is sooner or later in your life, over the course of your life, you have the right to experience each one of these things sooner or later. So it shouldn't surprise us at all that false teachers will package promote these types of things and connect them to a relationship with Jesus Christ as the source for all of these things now. Like right now, today. But there's one really challenging difficulty with all of this. Open the Gospels. Read the life, the ministry, the career of Jesus and discover he didn't experience any of these things. Nor did his disciples that followed him, nor did he ever promise them any of these things. In fact, think back to the gospel lesson. In Jesus' first major teaching occasion of all of the larger gathered group of people who are wanting to hear what he has to say, he tells them just the opposite. He tells them nothing about their lives and their following them of him and serving him is going to be easy. They're going to experience hunger, thirst, sorrow, persecution. We know from the writings of the early church fathers that the disciples that followed Jesus, that were surrounding him on that occasion, his tight-knit group of 12, only one of them died a natural death. Every single one of them, the rest of them was martyred. We know that the early Christian church did not expect any of the things that the modern church is telling you to attach to your faith in regard to the things of this life right now. In fact, one historical observer analyzing the culture, the Christian culture of his day, remarked that Christians of his day were so heavenly minded, they were of very little earthly use. If you and I were to examine ourselves, our lives, our choices, our Christian culture of this day, based on that same concept, would we not be tempted to say so often, we're so driven by and longing for the things of this moment that we're a very little heavenly use at times? Paul's strong words to the Corinthians here in these verses leave no room for avoidance of these issues. Paul intends for every single one of us to look into the mirror of the Word and examine ourselves, our lives, and simply see his point. As he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Why? Because we're headed down a road, if we're pursuing the things of this life right now, that will only be a path to disappointment. Because confessional, biblical Christianity has always been at its core about death and life after death in heaven. The American culture, and even the wider world culture, will laugh at you and I and scoff at the resurrection, scoff at anybody that believes not just that you and I will have a life after death and rise, but certainly scoff at the idea that anyone, including Christ, has ever actually walked from his grave to live again, and certainly not to ascend to heaven, to rule all things. They scoff simply at the notion that all people need to know and trust in Jesus Christ and be connected to him to have any hope of heaven. All of these things are seen as things that if you and I believe them, we deserve to be pitied, not them. And take it a step further and look into a lot of the surveying that's been done in the last two decades of people who nominally say that they're Christians and discover that while they do believe in heaven, the majority of them believe that everyone is going to heaven. Well, they like to make the exception and follow up questioning that everyone but the very worst of us will be going to heaven. That same vein of surveying reveals just how biblically clueless even some of those who call themselves Christians, who give themselves that label, are about what God clearly presents in his Word at places such as this about all of these things. So you may think when you hear 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and have some recollection of what material is here that, hey, that's the great resurrection chapter of the Scriptures. That's Easter time stuff. But you know what? While it is a portion of Scripture that has portions of it selected for occasions and around Easter and Easter Day itself, there's a very deliberate reason why those who made the choice decided that we should also be looking at it during the season of Epiphany. Let's not relegate talk of the resurrection to just one short stretch of the year. Why not make every Sunday what the original deciders of worshiping on Sunday intended it to be? A mini Easter, week after week. Every single day of our lives is a very good day to be reminded, as Paul reminds us here, that Jesus did rise from the dead. And so our faith is not futile, and we are not still in our sins. Jesus did pay with his own perfect life for every last sin of every last human soul that will ever live, and has guaranteed through his rising on the third day, new life, resurrection, peace with God, and eternal life with him. Christ is the first fruits from the grave, Paul tells us here. And every soul that has died and that will yet die in faith in Jesus Christ before his return in glory is not lost, but waits with Christ to return with him at that moment when he comes to end all of this world's nonsense. You and I, we don't know what any day may bring our way. And yet you and I, if we are listening to the scriptures and trusting the promises there, have absolute certainty of exactly what will happen after the sunset of this world's last day. Epiphany is a progressional season where little by little Jesus is revealed to us to be both God in human flesh and yet our human brother at the same time. Lessons such as our gospel lesson show us just how powerful Jesus was. How it's almost like a radar of attraction just radiating out from him in that moment of that day where it says the power was going out from him and it was so inviting, so welcoming, so inclusive that people came from far and wide to be healed, to be relieved of their demons. We see the glorious demonstration of his power as God, and yet at the same time, during the same season of the year, we have those little hints of the sorrow and the realities coming and how Jesus is fully our human brother at the same time. Dial ahead to the night before he died, when he's in the garden, praying so fervently, the anguish that he experiences, we can clearly see that in every way, body, mind, soul, spirit, he is as fully human as us with that excruciating experience. And listen to him as he cries out from the cross, communicating to us the abandonment that he's experiencing, the hell that is very real in every way. And know that there's no doubt that Jesus is God and human at the same time. Today on this Epiphany journey, we get a dose of what difference it makes to be blessed by the knowledge day after day of who Jesus really is, what he has done about sin, and what he will do in resurrected glory on the last day. The choice of this lesson on this day is to remind us, plain and simple, that the world around us, no matter what era of history we live in, the world around us will push back against the truth of the resurrection and try to convince us that it's just a relic of history, nonsense, nothing to put our hope in. The world will also tempt us to try to prioritizing the satisfying of our physical needs, the right here and the right now, as the most important thing we can be pursuing, as much because the world as it does that is hoping that in our pursuit of these things, we will also play a role in satisfying these same desires in all the people around us. Daily life, for most everyone, including Christians, but certainly for those who do not know Christ, those whom Paul says here should be pitied, is all about getting on to the next moment, getting through pain and challenge, getting what we can from any day and squeezing out its blessings with the hope of finding some pleasure and satisfaction along the way in that experience. And Paul tells us here, so bluntly, so boldly, that especially anyone who attaches to that experience, squeezing the relationship they have with Jesus Christ for those physical, day-by-day, now blessings, deserves to be pitied more than anyone else. He tells us in so many words, we will never find any of that there. But we will find forgiveness and peace, release from all of our guilt. We will find the healing hope of Jesus that takes all of the pieces of us that are broken and begins to fit them together so we get just a glimpse of what we will be one day when we are made perfect in the glory of God through the resurrection of the last day. We will find power to combat the temptations that are from within and without. We will find a perspective that is so different by contrast from everything else that the world is feeding us, that we will know that it is beyond human origin. We will know that it is eternal, not only in its inspiration, but eternal in its consequence. And we will also be led to realize this truth will and can shape and impact every day, every moment of our lives, every decision, every conversation, if we will but let it. That's because Christ has risen from the dead. He has ascended to heaven's throne to rule all things for the good of his church, for you and for me and every other believer, until he comes to end this experience that challenges us. All the while, the world pities us, telling us that we're simple and unintelligent and just grabbing at whatever crutch we can find that will help us through this world. We're backward, we're gullible. And yet the Word clearly says just the opposite here. They pity us who believe because they don't know what we know. We know that this life is not all the living we will do. We know that day by day our focus must be higher. It must be on Christ and His truth, His saving Word, as it shapes the realities that we come to know through that Word that are far, far more than just this life. So cherish the journey. Cherish that journey, whether it's an Easter proclamation of resurrection or if it's Epiphany and you're being reminded again of how important it is to have this truth at the center of your life every day. Rejoice in your hope of the resurrection and eternal life, but especially in those moments in the here and now that are particularly dark and uncertain. In those moments, trust the promises of your risen Savior that there is a future, an eternal future that will fulfill you and complete you and embrace you with truth and love and clarity far beyond anything you will ever know here. Look such moments squarely in the eye and remind yourself there is far, far more than this life. Eternity awaits. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.